We're continuing our studies in John's Gospel. We only have another 2 weeks left before our new series, and then we'll pick up John's Gospel about 2 weeks before Easter next year, and we'll finish it in the context of what happens there. So I thought it'd be best to break off and then finish it at Easter rather than repeat it next Easter. So we're doing John chapter 15, verses 17, to John chapter 16, verse 4 today. It's about the disciples' relationship with the world. So I'll read, first of all, John chapter 15, verses 17. It says, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I have told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you." Well, last week, from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, we learnt the importance of staying connected to the fruitful vine. We learnt that unless we are connected to Jesus, that we can bear no fruit at all. Without Jesus in our lives, in a true and personal way, there is no spiritual fruit whatever. We learnt that it is God's primary purpose that his people bear fruit for his glory. We also learned that if we remain in Jesus, then we will bear fruit. We discovered that loving obedience to the Word of God will ensure continued indwelling in our lives. And finally, we discovered that the fruit that John was talking about is actually winning souls for Jesus that will remain connected to the fruitful vine. Ultimately, Jesus is preparing his disciples for disciple making. Now, one of the biggest problems of the church today is that we're not actually making disciple making disciples. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when somebody becomes a real Christian and they're born again, then they need somebody to come alongside themselves and teach them all they need to know in order to grow and become a mature Christian. And when they are ready and mature, then they need to come alongside another new believer and teach them and train them in the same way as they have been taught and they have been trained. Only when they are making another disciple can you really say that they are bearing fruit that will remain. Okay? So this process is a very long process. And this is the great challenge for any church. But it is what the work of discipleship is all about. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is to make disciple-making believers. It's no good having a church full of Christians who are not making disciples, because eventually the work dies. It's challenging, but it's also exciting to think what God can do with our lives when we dedicate them to Him. We now move on to the passage that I read, John chapter 15, verse 17, to chapter 16, verse 4. And this passage is mainly about the disciples' relationship with the world. Last week, it was about the disciples' relationship with Jesus, and now it's about the disciples' relationship with the world. And the world hates all disciples of Jesus for four main reasons, which are pointed out in the text. Before we deal with those reasons, we first need to clarify what Jesus means by the use of the word the world. Now, the term is used in the Bible in at least three different ways. It can mean the created world. Jesus was involved in the creation of the world, John 1 and 10. It can also mean the world of humanity, for God so loved the world. But the third use of the word world, which is the context of what Jesus is saying here, describes society apart from God. The world, from a Christian point of view, or from God's point of view, involves all the people, all the plans, all the organizations, all the activities, all the philosophies, all the values that belong to a society without God, without the God of the Bible. This also means religious systems like Islam, Buddhism, Shintoism. That's part of the world. It also includes religions that profess to be Christians but do not follow the truth of the Bible. And there are many of them all over the world. Some of these worldly things can be part of a culture of a society. And some of these things may be corrupt or morally evil. However, of all the things that are in the world, they have their origin in the heart and the mind of sinful man. Now, the Bible, Satan is described in the Bible as the God of this world. He's the God of this world, and he's the prince of this world. And he is the object of the world's worship. Even though people are unaware of it, they may be worshipping Buddha, or they may be involved in Shinto. Whatever they are worshipping that is not the God of the Bible, actually they're worshipping Satan, but they don't realize it because their minds are blinded and their eyes are blinded. And as Christians, we must be very careful not to love the world, because that's Satan's territory. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." That's very clear. And also Paul challenges us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, not to be conformed to this world. Now, the devil can be very subtle in the way that he tries to drag the church and drag Christians into the world. And he does this by trying to influence Christians to compromise the Bible. And in these verses, Jesus explains why the world system will hate the first disciples and then in turn all the disciples throughout the history of the world. Now, you may wonder why I started reading from verse 17. Well, the reason Jesus probably repeated here about the disciples continuing to love one another is that he was about to tell them bad news. If I was about to tell you bad news of how much you're going to be hated, you'll want to know who's going to love you, okay? So the disciples needed to know that there was someone who was going to love them in this world apart from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Someone tangible. The disciples needed to know them. And it must come through the disciples of Jesus. That's why it's so important that we as Christians sincerely love one another and support one another within the truth of God's word. And sometimes that love is tough to receive, but we don't always want to receive tough love. We want sometimes untough love. But anyway, that is why Jesus put it there, because he was about to bring some bad news. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's good to remind ourselves, that love, Christian love, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So, the disciples were about to get some bad news about a lot of people that are going to hate them. But Jesus, before he said that, he said, oh, by the way, you've got to love one another because what's coming is tough. So let's look now at the text and discover why the world hates us as Christians. We're in verse 18 now. The world hates us as Christians, first of all, because the disciples are hated by the world because they are identified with Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 18, Jesus makes it very clear that he was hated by the world first. And he warns the disciples of things to come and encourages them that he has been through all that they are going through. Now, it's really nice to get support from people, whatever we're going through. But if they've been through exactly the same thing, then we listen to them. That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. And now it's amazing to think that the sinless, perfect Son of God left the glory of heaven to come to the sin-sick world, die on a cruel cross to save people from the wrath of God to come, was actually hated by the very people he came to save. John 1:11 says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. The God-man who healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, did nothing but kindness to all the people he met, was hated by the world. It's almost unbelievable to think that that had happened, but it was true, because that's what they did to Jesus. They hated him. And if we identify ourselves with Jesus, and we really do it sincerely, we are going to be hated by the world. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, John repeats what he says to Jesus. He says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Now, this may upset some people today, but in recent days, through the gay movement, we have a modern day example of how Christians are being hated by the world. Now, over 50 years ago, and I looked it up in historical books, the world regarded homosexual behavior as wrong. I'm not just talking about men who have friends and girls who have friends. I'm talking about sexual intimacy within a relationship, okay? Now, it was not only wrong in God's eyes 50 years ago, but it was wrong in the world's eyes. They thought it was wrong too. And in most countries, it was actually a criminal offense. You could go to prison for it. However, now that the world has lowered their standards to accommodate homosexual behavior and even legalize same-sex marriage, the world hates any believer who will stand for God's truth on sexual orientation. And any churches who support gay marriages, they're loved by the world. They love them. But any churches that take a true biblical stand against gay marriages, they're hated. Not just by gay people, but they're actually hated by people who are not gay. Now, it's not in the script, but I used to go to a school in England every year, and I would take the whole year, maybe several hundred people, and I'd teach them about Christianity. We would give our testimonies, and we'd have a great time. 2 years ago, I went to the same school, and children of about 11 were chastising me and abusing me because I stood firm on the gay movement. Some of them didn't even know what it meant, but they knew you have to hate anyone that stands against the gays. So our world is slowly crumbling into a morally degenerate society, and I don't believe it'll be long before Jesus comes back. But anyway, the word here for hate is a very strong one. You think hate, well, maybe just disagree. The word hate here, it means to detest in the original translation, to persecute in hatred, and it suggests a fixed, ongoing hatred. So the more we stand for God's truth as we come towards the second coming, the more we're going to be persecuted and the more people are going to hate Christians, because we're going to be very, very different. Now, Jesus was a realist. He told his disciples in advance how it was going to be for them. So if you desire to follow Jesus, there are a number of challenges. And firstly, you will get the same treatment as Jesus. So Jesus is a realist. He tells us how it is. So that's the first reason we're hated by the world, because we identify with Jesus. Secondly, disciples are hated by the world because they do not belong to this world, verse 19. The world does have a love, but it's a selfish love, and it's only a love for its own people. The world loves the world, and if you love the world, they'll love you. But if you love Jesus, they are going to hate you because you don't belong in the world. However, Jesus says that Christians are rescued out of this world. Christians are separate from this world. They no longer belong to this world. They're not citizens of this world. They are citizens in heaven. Citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20. I wish that we had our own passport and that we're citizens of heaven and we could stamp it in our passports. But we are in the world physically, but we're not of the world. It says in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, we are told that we're partakers of a heavenly calling. We should look at the world from a heavenly point of view. And the more time we spend with Jesus, and this is fact, the more time we spend with Jesus, the less we'll be attracted by the things of this world. The world system functions on the basis of conformity. As long as a person follows the fashions and the morals of the world and accepts their values, they're going to get along fine. But as soon as a Christian starts to obey the teaching of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, they have a problem. The Bible teaches that a believer is a new creation. We should no longer want to live in the old life. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. However, a dark world does not want light, and a decaying world does not want salt. The believer does not belong to this world. So if you're a Christian today, you don't belong here. In Japan, England, or any other Disneyland that you might go to, you don't belong here. You belong in heaven, but you've got a job to do while you're here in this earth. Number three, disciples are hated by the world because the world is spiritually blind. Verse 21. In verse 21, Jesus says that the world has rejected God and therefore is spiritually blind. So if you'd asked the leaders, the spiritual leaders in Jerusalem at that time, if they knew God, they would have said, yes, we know God. But however, Jesus says in chapter 16, verse 3, that they didn't know God. The religious leaders knew about God, and they could quote the Bible, but they didn't know God personally. That's the problem with religion. They don't know God personally. To know God personally, you must know Jesus personally. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you don't know God, and God doesn't know you. Now, this was not a new subject for Jesus to discuss. He'd mentioned it before in John chapter 8, verse 19, and John 8, 55. And in John 8, verses 19, they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." And in John 8, 55, it says, "Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." So the religious world today claims to know God, but they don't want to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he is the only Savior of the world. The Bible says that Satan has blinded their minds and sin has blinded their hearts. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 to 4 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age or the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Ephesians 4, 17 to 19 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now, even Saul of Tarsus, who wrote most of the letters in the New Testament, was so convinced that his Jewish religion was righteous and perfect that he even persecuted God's people. And we read the story in the Acts of the Apostles. God had to open his spiritual eyes to discover the truth about Jesus. And isn't it amazing? He made him blind first so that he could see blindness. Well, fourthly, disciples are hated by the world because the world is not honest about its sin. I will guarantee, before you became a Christian, that you weren't honest about your sin. Jesus says that he came to the world, taught the truth about God and sin. He produced many miracles to prove his identity as the Son of God, and yet the people still rejected him. The question is, why? Why did they reject Jesus? Well, the answer is because they didn't want to be honest about their own sin. Now, it takes a lot of courage and honesty to admit your sin to God. It's not easy to say to God, "Yes, I am a sinner and I need your forgiveness." Because everybody judges themselves on their own standards. And we all have different standards where we judge ourselves. The problem is that God's standards are 100% holy. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of God's standards. We all need Jesus. We all need God's forgiveness through Jesus. The people had no excuse for their sin. They had seen the works of Jesus and they'd heard the words of Jesus, and there was absolutely no excuse. Well, finally, we come to the encouragement of Jesus, verse 25, right through to chapter 16, verse 4. The question arises, how does the Holy Spirit encourage believers when they are experiencing hatred and opposition from the world? And the answer is, it comes mainly through the Word of God. That's why if you are young, maybe under 40, I would encourage you to learn memory verses from the Bible. We're going to deal with this in our discipleship course. Because there will come a time when we may not have access to our Bibles, and we'll be able to encourage ourselves as we quote memory verses from the Bible. So anyway, the answer is that it's mainly through the Word of God. This is why Jesus quotes from Scripture in verses 25. Now here, Jesus quotes from Psalm 35 verses 19 and Psalm 69 verse 4. And the word of God assures Jesus that the hatred of the world was not because of anything he had done to deliberately incite such opposition. So when the world hates us, it's not that we're winding them up. It's not that we are doing things wrong. We're just standing firm on God's word. A couple of weeks ago, I think a lady went to prison in America because she wouldn't issue a marriage license for a gay couple. And I saw the DVD and she said, no, I'm going to follow God. She must have got fired from her job and gone to prison. Well, we too can turn to the scriptures in our own lives for encouragement when the world hates us. So when the world hates you, go to the Bible, soak yourself in the Bible, and read God's word. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30 says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or hear about you, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that you're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. For we are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. So that's where to go. That's what Paul says. And 2 Timothy 2, verses 18 to 13, Paul repeats himself. He says, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach to you. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Jesus goes on to teach that the times of hatred from the world are also times of great witness and sometimes of revival. Verse 26 and verse 27, we're told that the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus through us. So we're not left alone in the world defenseless. We have the Holy Spirit working through us. You only have to read the book of Acts to discover how much the disciples were helped by the Holy Spirit when the world hated them. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives so that we can testify about Jesus to the world that hates us. Well, we close this section in chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, and I'm going to be very brief. In verse 2, the word for service actually means priestly service. So Jesus is warning the disciples that the time will come when people will kill you and claim that they are serving God in some priestly way. This may be a reference to Saul of Tarsus. He thought that he was serving God by destroying the church. Jesus doesn't want us to stumble during persecution or when the world hates us. Be encouraged that Jesus has overcome the world and his Holy Spirit will help us to do the same. Let's pray.